Okay, well, we're ready for our lesson on the light today. Just a little review. Yesterday we recognized that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a continuation of the Holy Scriptures of Genesis through Malachi. They just continue right on after there is a gap where there's not any scriptural writings that we have for 400 years, but then you pick up with John, John the Baptist, and he's talking about the kingdom that was promised. So it's the same system. It's Israel's prophetic system that's being preached. The Old Testament is about God working with Israel. Its prophecies about Christ's return to earth in glory, not about the body of Christ being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. They're different things. Genesis through John are inspired prophetic writings about Christ coming down, cleaving the Mount of Olives in half, and the Bible shows them to be two different events, separated by years of time. The catching up of the body of Christ is not the return of Christ to the earth to reign through Israel. And after we read some verses about Christ coming down to earth, then we'll read 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18 there, a vivid description of the catching up of the body of Christ, and you can see how different it's going to be. We'll contrast that with the second coming that we're going to read about now. Prophecy is that which was professed, or that which was written down before the fact happened, usually written down, in advance. It's the oracles of God that were given to Israel to write down. We have them in our Bible, Genesis through Acts 8, and in Hebrews through Revelation. Prophecy says Christ will come from heaven to earth, bringing with him the kingdom out of heaven. That's very basic. And if you've not yet seen that, here are some verses that do tell about the God's kingdom coming from heaven to earth, to reign on earth. Let's look first at Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 21. Deuteronomy 11:21. That your days may be multiplied. Now, this is not talking to you listening to me today. This was talking to Israel. We're not Israel. So we're listening in on God's conversation to Israel. That your days may be multiplied as the days and the days of your children in the land. We're not in the land. The land is described back in early scriptures, a huge area over there, much bigger than Israel, including several boundaries of several nations over there now. But that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. The days of heaven upon the earth. Do you see the coming of from heaven to earth of God's kingdom there? Daniel 2:44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall God... Daniel's been talking about that image. Daniel 2:31 and below. The image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And so he goes on to say, in the days of these kings that were described by the image, or described by Daniel, actually, about the image. But he says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Well, Russia is not ruled by anybody. We're not ruled by anybody. That kingdom has not yet been set up, or it would still be here. It says, which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. It'll be my people, in other words, God's people that will run it. It'll be Israel. Shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms from that image. And it shall stand forever. let's look in Luke 19. Luke 19, verses 12 and 15. A couple verses there we'll look at. Starting with verse 12, he said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went," he left, "he went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." And that's what Jesus did. Hasn't returned yet, but he went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. And verse 15, "And it came to pass," now this is the parable that he's giving, or the account, he says, "And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." Again, this is a parable for Israel. This is a statement for Israel. It's not about us using our talents. Okay? It's about Israel and their reception of the kingdom. So, but that's the theme of the Old Testament. There are many, many more such verses like those about the kingdom of God coming out of heaven to earth. The kingdom of heaven. However, that prophecy was to Israel, so you can't just, you know, it can't happen until Israel's prophecy begins to function again. Israel, you know, by the end of Acts, God's completed, he completed Israel's diminishing from, you know, you read that in Romans 11, verse 12, that they would be diminishing, and they did. They're in part blinding, that Paul talks about in Romans 11:25, later became full blinding in Acts 28, the last half chapter of it, half of the chapter. Now, at this time, that's their situation. They're fully blinded. They're not God's people. And God said, "I will not be their God." They're cut off. Not permanently. God will, by his own choice and his own grace, bring them back, pour out on them a spirit of grace and of supplication. But that hasn't happened yet. At the time of Acts 20, Paul wrote about Israel's in part blinding. In Romans 11:25, he said that they would be blinded in part. And it's written only part way through the Acts account. But inspired of God, Paul later placed Isaiah's curse upon Israel so that they became cast away. They were gone for a while. And we're still in that while. But at that time, that's the time at which they became cast away and fully blinded. At that point, the Bible talks about Israel's blinding. It's not the blinding in part anymore that the Bible is talking about from that point on. That occurred in the last half chapter of Acts when Paul enacted the curse in Isaiah chapter 6 and placed it on Israel. So right now Israel has been fully blinded and cast away for a while. Now, at the present time, that's their situation, but it's not always going to be that way. That did not end God's plan to provide salvation to man. And God wasn't caught by surprise, as we noted yesterday. God continued to the other part of his plan and provided salvation available for all that hear it and believe it to be saved by the gospel that he provided at that time. God only announced that through Paul, though. He was the single human being that knew about it. And he took his commission to preach it to us seriously. He took it seriously. So he was the first one that was saved that way. He could not be saved as a Jew. He was a blasphemer and spoke against the Holy Ghost that was speaking through Stephen when he participated in the stoning of Stephen by holding their coats. It's not until Acts 9 that Paul received that salvation. So you can't find our way of salvation in the Bible before Acts 9. It's just not there. It's not hinted at. It's not. God was keeping a secret. God can keep a secret. If anybody can, he can. So we'll go on and try to expose more of these overlooked things in the Bible. We need to study the Bible in an honest and orderly way, not just grabbing unrelated verses and try to make up a doctrine. According to Romans 11:25, blindness must continue, talking about Israel's blindness, has to continue until the fullness of the Gentiles become into what God is bringing Gentiles into today, bringing believers into the body of Christ today. In that verse, that word until is very important. So we'll look at the verse here, Romans 11:25. It limits the time, that word until limits the time of the blinding and casting away of Israel. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. This mystery. So he's going to tell them a new secret, something that, he didn't want them to be unaware of it. He's telling them, or ignorant of it. Paul is going to tell us a mystery, a secret, something that has not been written down in prophecy in the Old Testament. It's this other body of knowledge that was kept secret by God himself. He says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened, that's by Acts 20 when he wrote this, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So that means when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, they'll not only be no longer totally blinded, but they won't even be in part blinded when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel's only told that they're going to be blinded until the last Gentile comes in. Become into what, though? Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Well, the next verse shows us that believers are coming into the body of Christ. And the next verse that we're going to read, I should say. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 13 and 27. Pardon me. Welcome to the room. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into, does it say into the lake or into the river or into the sea? What kind of water? It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, not into water, into a body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And the verse says, in verse 13, it says, made to drink. Made to drink. It's not something that you do. It's not something that you work up. It's not something with evidence, other than that you believe what God said in the Bible. Your faith is the only evidence. You believe that God told the truth in the Bible, when he said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Paul is talking about believers in the gospel that he preached. And that involves the Christ dying for your sins. Not just that he died, was buried, and rose. It's not just the DBR. It's that he died for your sins, and it's not just that. Otherwise, everybody in the world would be saved. It's that you believe your salvation to that fact, that he died for your sins. You receive it unto yourself. Galatians 3:26 shows that you are all children of God by faith in Christ. I'll have time for questions after, when I'm finished with what I've prepared here. It may just answer your question as we go along, though. Look at Romans 3:21 and 22. About that faith. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So the law reflected God's righteousness, the best that man could understand his righteousness. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by, or talked about by, the law and the prophets. verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had the faith to go to the cross that God would raise him from the dead. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. Everybody can receive it if they will. And it's upon all them that believe. That's the filter there. That's the catch. That's the qualifier. If you believe it, if you believe it under your own situation, your need for salvation, you believe that God filled it by dying for your sins. So those who do not exercise their faith are some of the ones that the righteousness of God is unto in Romans 3, 21 and 22. However, it's not upon them because they did not believe the gospel. The righteousness of God is only upon all them that believe. It's merely unto the rest of them. It's not distant from them. It's right there. It's unto them if they would just believe it. But they don't believe, the ones that didn't. The righteousness of God is available to them, but they do not believe. So let's take another brief look at the four stark contrasts between the second coming of Christ down to earth and the other event, Christ's catching up the body of Christ into the clouds. Now look at these differences, which we'll be reading the verses for. We'll just give the differences here. The first one that we see, Christ, let's see, how am I going to do this? We'll talk about Israel first and Christ coming back to earth, and then the second contrast will be the body of Christ and what the Bible says through Paul, what the Lord says through Paul about us being caught up to heaven. Okay? Israel first. Christ sends his angels to gather his elect on the earth. And that's in Matthew 24:31. But the other side, the body of Christ, in the catching up, Christ himself descends from heaven to the air to catch us up. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17. Okay, the second contrast. In Matthew 24, verse 30, Israel sees the Son of Man coming down in the clouds of heaven. But, however, that's Israel's view of the second coming of Christ to earth. And a similar situation, but different for the body of Christ, in the catching up of the body of Christ, we go up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. The third contrast, Jesus Christ returns to Israel, and his return involves great mourning, sadness. Zechariah 12, 9 through 11 shows that. Matthew 24, verse 30 shows that also. That's about Christ's return to Israel on earth. However, for the body of Christ, our being caught up, there's great joy knowing that we'll be caught up to be together with the Lord. And many verses tell us that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says it's a comfort. 4:18 says it's a comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 10 and 7, Second Thessalonians 2, verses 16 to 17. Titus 2:13, our blessed hope. Blessed. It involves the body of Christ going to heaven. All right, the fourth contrast. Regarding Israel and Christ coming back to earth, wrath is involved in Christ's returning to Israel. The Battle of Armageddon and Israel not being wholly unpunished for their wanderings away from God, according to Jeremiah 30, verse 11. But we see this battle of Armageddon and the wrath involved in Christ's return to Israel in Zechariah 12, verses 9 to 11, in Matthew 24, verses 27 to 29, and in Revelation 16, verses 13 to 16, and Revelation 19, verses 17 to 21. It's all over the place. But for the body of Christ and our catch being caught up by the Lord into heaven, there is no wrath for the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We're not appointed unto wrath. We're delivered from the wrath to come. It's clear they're not the same. So we know that the catching up of the body of Christ is something for those in the body of Christ that have believed the gospel of salvation delivered only to Paul, for us to be happy about and comforted by. We're told to be comforted by it. So Christ sends his angels to gather his elect on the earth, but the body of Christ, in the catching up, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven to catch us up. So there are differences. People try to bend scripture thinking that God always meant to say the same thing and had only one purpose and never divided the statements in scripture. Well, he divided the light from the dark. He divided all through. He divided Israel away from the Gentiles. And the scriptures are divided between those that are for Israel and those that are for us, for the rest of the world besides Israel, while Israel's cast away. So they actually have to change the reporting of what God said. They have to try to blend the two together, the two things that God divided. They have to universalize it. And if you look in the dictionary, another word for universalize is to Catholicize it. And that's exactly what happened. From the time of Paul through the 4th century's major departure from God's word. That's why it's harder for us today to see God's division between prophecies spoken since the world began and the mystery kept secret since the world began until Christ revealed those mysteries to Paul from heaven after his ascension back to heaven. Those so-called early church fathers, they did not understand what God was doing. And they didn't understand God's revelation to Paul. They tried to blend it all together and to make both purposes of God into one purpose of God. They tried to make both segments, Israel and the body of Christ, into one, with one collection of mixed together doctrine, Catholicized. The Roman Empire forced that contrived doctrine on people to make them part of their empire. Well, let's consider the second contrast there between the return of Christ and the catching up of the body of Christ. In Matthew 24:30, Israel sees the Son of Man coming down from heaven in clouds of heaven. And, it's just like in Acts 1, verse 11. It says, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Thank you. In Matthew 24:30, Christ himself confirms that, but here's the second part of the contrast. In the catching up, we believers do go up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But we're going up. It's not him coming down. He comes to the clouds, to the air, but not to the ground. It never says anything about him touching down. Like, it's very specific about his touching down when he comes for Israel. You can read that in Zechariah 14:4. But there is a contrast between the two events in the catching up. We believers in the catching up, those of us that believe the gospel that Paul preached, go up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's a difference in the two events. We must identify whether we're talking about Christ coming down to earth or us going up to meet him in the air. We must not mix up the two. That would be lying about what God said. That would be blasphemy. Now, we turn to the third contrast that we mentioned before. Christ's return to Israel involves mourning, not the mourning of the day, you know, morning, noon, and night, but M-O-U-R-N, mourning. if you're not interested in what we're trying to teach here, you can, there are other rooms you can go to. All right, back to the lesson. We're going to read these verses later, but now we're moving through these contrasts. In the other part of the picture, there was mourning. You know, the first part, when Christ returns to Israel, that involves great mourning, and we saw the verses for that earlier. But there is joy and comfort to us, knowing that we'll be caught up together with the Lord, us in the body of Christ. The contrast with that mourning that Israel will go through is that for the body of Christ there is joy and comfort. We have assurance that we will be caught up to be with the Lord. There are multiple verses about it. And we've read some, we can read some more, but we're about to close here for the day. The fourth contrast, there's wrath involved in Christ's return to Israel, the Battle of Armageddon. The 70th week of Daniel involves the wrath. It's called Jacob's trouble. But for us, there's no wrath for the body of Christ. And we saw that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. So there are four of the sharp contrasts proving the difference between Israel and the body of Christ. And the two events of coming to earth, of Jesus Christ from heaven, bringing his kingdom out of heaven, contrasted with the catching up of the body of Christ to meet the Lord in the air. Now, how about those questions? I'm done.